Today I want to talk about new levels of heaven. New levels of heaven. Staircase going up, and the phrase says growing up, really meaning going up, right? But I put the R in there because going up is growing up, G-R-O-W-I-N-G, trying to implicate that going up is synonymous with growing up. Tracking? You are always, listen to this, you are always things in title before you are those things in reality. I'll say that again. You are always things by title before you are things in reality. So by title, you know, you say, we are saved, right? By title, we are saved, but we are being saved, right? We have yet to see the reality of being fully and completely saved, right? But if anybody asks you, are you saved? What would your answer be?
Yes,
I'm saved. Because you are in title before you are in reality. Watch this. And so when you learn this principle, you understand that things you ask for, you already have before they are a reality. Tracking? So new levels of heaven teach us how to grow up into what we already have titles for. So we can grow into where I'm leading you in terms of a personal relationship with God. You already have access. You already have the title of being powerful, anointed, saved, mature, strong, gifted, favored, blessed. All of those things you would say, I am all of that, but you don't see all of that in the reality of your life, right? But you have the title for it already, which means then that relationships changes. Relationships change, or there are relationship changes over time that we may be a couple by title, but we have to grow into the reality of what we call ourselves. We call ourselves Christians, but we have to grow into the reality of what a Christian is. Are you tracking? So relationships, though, watch this. This is key. The first thing you remember, you are entitled what you are before reality. The key is relationships are the catalysts that help bring the title into reality. So watch this. So if God says I'm saved or I'm blessed or favored, that's my title, the reality of it is not yet in view. The thing that's going to get me from title to reality is relationship. With me? So my personal relationship with God is significant if I'm going to see my titles. All I read in the Bible, all this stuff about people being Moses and Jacob, Joshua, and they parted the Red Sea and all that. Why does that happen for me? Because I don't have the type of relationship Abraham had, Moses had, David had, Joshua had. Tracking? You with me so far? All right. So let's go on to the next point. Let's read the text then that's going to give us this reality. St. John chapter 15, verses 15 through 16. And it says, will you read it with me, please? Let's read it. Henceforth, I call you not servants, For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. That passage is loaded, right? That's amazing. I want you to see that you go from being a slave, though, to being a friend. All right, I'm going to show you different levels. So that's why I've entitled this message, New Levels of Heaven in Growing Up. The passage addressed them first. Jesus addressed them as slaves, servants. But then they graduated to friends, right? New level. Different relationship. Would you not agree that a relationship with a slave is different than a relationship with a friend? Okay. Then they move from friends to being chosen. Oh, wait a second. So they went from slave to being friends to being chosen. And then the last part of the passage said, so that you can ask whatever you want of your Father. So they went to being family. Oh, shoot. They went from slaves to friends to chosen to family. And the ultimate peak of being family is you can ask whatever you want. But does a slave get whatever they want? No. So you have to grow up into what you are by title. Now, a slave, though, can be a king, a prince. We know that. Joseph was a prisoner. He was a slave. But he became second in command in Egypt. So was he not a king when he was a boy? No, he was by title already. But he had to grow into the reality of his position. Ah, God. So we can be in reality a slave now, or at this title on the job, doesn't mean, though, positionally, that's where my end road is going to be. But my relationship with God is what takes me from here to there. Somebody say relationship. So let's talk about level number one. You ready for level number one? Level number one, we are slaves of heaven. Can you repeat that?
We are slaves of heaven.
Slaves of heaven. Now, slaves, listen to this, is doing things out of compulsion for another is slavery. Let me say this. Write this down. As slaves of heaven, this is task related. You with me? When you're a slave of somebody, you do nothing but tasks. It's task driven. Do this, right? Do that. Ordering you here, ordering you there. And that's what the Ten Commandments was. It enslaved people to rules and laws. And what God had to change was changing it from this legal aspect to a relationship aspect, because they couldn't keep the law. And why can't we keep laws? Why can't we keep rules? Because rules and laws are impersonal. We get an attitude if somebody orders us around. But I can do the same things that I was ordered around to do if somebody tells me in a loving friendship capacity. If a stranger asks me to rub their feet or wash their feet or carry their bags, I'm going to look at them like a crazy. But if my wife asks me to do it, I'll do it gladly. Same task, different relationship. Come on, go with me for a minute. So my point is, doing things out of compulsion for another is slavery. When you do something out of compulsion because you're compelled to by another person, that's called slavery. In other words, somebody forces you to do it. Now, this is not to be confused with Paul's words where he says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, he says, we are compelled by Christ's love. He says, we're compelled by Christ's love. These words refer to a person's own internal compulsion. In other words, within me, I am compelled of my own desire because of the love of God to do it. Listen, don't confuse being compelled by yourself internally to do something versus being compelled by somebody outside of yourself. When somebody outside of you compels you to do something or orders you to do something, that's slavery. But when you have a personal compulsion or desire to do something to change your life, you figure you're compelled to stop smoking. That's not slavery. That's a positive thing. Are you with me? You cannot serve God. My point is, you cannot serve God out of threats and fear. Listen to me. So let me explain the difference. Here the text says, henceforth, from this point, what did he say? In other words, henceforth is indicating transition. From this point, he says, I no longer call you what? Servants, for the servant doesn't know what his Lord does. So who cares? How many have ever worked a job and you feel like you're not in on the planning and the strategy, but all you get is the orders when it comes down from the meeting? You feel like a peon. You feel like the lowest person at the totem pole, and you feel like you have to do everything what other people planned or suggested. Children feel that way sometimes when parents decide something and the kids. Exactly. But why? Why do we go here? Why do we have to? Because they feel like they've been robbed of the chance to speak up. And they feel like servants and slaves in the house. And if you're not careful, you will run them the way and you will break their spirit because they don't feel a part. And I'm telling you, God is not raising a people who he is trying to keep from the truth of what he wants to share, because he knows that if you just serve him out of obligation, it's going to break your spirit. So let me explain it. I'm sure that picture speaks volumes to some of us, especially people of color. A slave is devoted to another to the disregard of oneself. So, a slave is devoted to somebody else, disregarding their own health and well-being. Listen carefully. Because there are many people who serve God, who serve Christ, and serve and go to missions and do all things for God all day and neglect their own health. You can't be in a relationship like that. You can't. You can't. God is not calling you to a relationship where you serve him to your own detriment and death. Amen. Mm. A slave is devoted to another to the disregard of oneself. Devoted to somebody else, disregarding your own health and well-being. Consequently, I know many people who have been hit with what we call Christian burnout. And I know people who have had to go to real therapy to work through how their choir director treated them, or how their pastor treated them, or how the deacon treated them, because they gave everything they had to that organization. And when they needed something, the church didn't respond. Oh, you did that. You should have got your retirement plan. You should have made sure that you had yourself together. You don't put all your people. Churches are run by people. So anything you've given yourself to, listen, anything you've given yourself to without knowledge, you are a slave. Anything you've given yourself to without the knowledge of why you do it and what you're doing it for, you're a slave. If you come to church as a Christian week after week but don't know the Bible you say you praise God for, you're in the slave category. And I'm here to get you out. Amen. Remember, the slave is no greater than the master. So whatever master say, you are, that's what you accept. So we've got to learn how to get out of that. This level of relationship is based on tasks only. Period. Come church, God says stop smoking, stop smoking. God says stop drinking, stop drinking. It's based on tasks, not based on relationship. It's just based on whatever the Bible says don't do. Right? God says don't smoke, you stop out of fear. And I used to fear. I say, if I do this, Lord going to be waiting around the corner. He's going to tap me with a hammer. Pow, he's going to get me. And so I stopped doing stuff because I'm scared. Christianity out of fear is slavery. This is a legalistic relationship, and we don't want to be in that. All right? Are you tracking with that? Yeah. All right, so let's look at a different dynamic from this perspective, and let's look at the second level. What is the second level? Friends of heaven. So first, you're slaves of heaven. Second, you're friends of heaven. Okay? So, doing things out of, watch this, doing things, remember the first one was doing things out of compulsion from another is slavery. Number two is doing things out of confidential companionship is friendship. First one was doing things out of compulsion from another is slavery. The second one is doing things out of confidential companionship. Notice those two words, confidential companionship. Key words, first one, confidential companionship is friendship. So friendship has a level of confidentiality with it, right? You can, all right? So you have this level of friendship that allows for confidentiality. Now, the first one I said was task related, right? So friends of heaven is truth related. Tracking? So the first one is task related. Second one is truth related. And why does that matter? Because now we're going to get into the realm where I'm going to be disclosed information of what's going on. Let's look at the text. Verse 15 says, he says, I don't call you servants. We just read that, right? But he says the second part of that, 15b, he says, but I have called you friends. Why does that matter? For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Friendship is based on truth. So you want to say you're a friend of God? You want to say you're a friend, but you don't know the truth? You're not a friend, you're a slave. If you don't read and study the word, if you don't have a personal relationship with God, you can't say you're friends. You can't say you're friends with somebody you don't talk to and you don't know. Is it true? You cannot walk around and say, I know God so well. No, you don't. You do what he says. You follow orders. That's not relationship. Tracking? So let's break this down a little further. Oh, look at the friends. Will you look at? Looking all happy. Friendship is about obedience. But obedience can be the same as slavery. True? Obedience can be the same as slavery, but both have different motivations. Get it? You can be obedient with a different motivation, and it is a different outcome. Obedience out of slavery is forced, it is threatened, it is a fearful motivation. But obedience out of friendship is obedience by choice. Isn't that different? Listen, as a friend, I don't make you do stuff. I don't force you to do it. You do it for me because you choose to. Look at what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm living Christian life based on wanting to. I'm not sinning because, not because I'm scared or I'm forced to, oh, Lord, gonna get you. No, I'm doing it because that's what I want to stop. What takes me from that title to reality? Relationship. You start wanting to do the right thing when you're in a personal relationship with God. It moves from slavery to friendship. So it is friendship then. In friendship, obedience doesn't make us friends. In friendship, just because I obey you, that doesn't make us friends, right? But it demonstrates our friendship. It doesn't make us friends, but it demonstrates our friendship. In other words, if I call you, if I know I can call Carrie, she'll come get me. She's going to be obedient and come get me based on our friendship. Because she's always obedient in doing that, that demonstrates we are friends. But if I call and threaten, if you don't come get me, I'm going to tell Mike I saw you shopping. Busted. I saw you shopping. I saw you spend $1,000. I saw you. I'm going to threaten you. I'm going to blackmail you, right? That's not friendship. That's slavery. I got something on her. Does God have something on all of us? Yes, he does. He could rat us all out. He could destroy all of us. He could send all of us to hell. But he doesn't do it because he wants a relationship with us. And he wants us to come worship him because we want to. Not because we have to. Not because we're forced to. But listen, when I was a child, mama had to make me get up and go to Sunday school. I was in the slave stage. But I grew up into waking up on Sunday my own self because I wanted to read the word. Do you hear what I'm saying? And then after I got old enough, I start driving my own self to church. When I was old enough to stay home and sleep all day, I decided not to. Why? Because I had a personal relationship. Woo! You can't stop me. Nothing can stop me from coming to church except my own choice to. Not a deacon, not an usher, not anybody who I felt wronged me. It doesn't matter. You can't stop me from my personal relationship. That's why the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I can't wait to get there. Get what I'm saying? It has to be personal. So in friendship, it's demonstrated. But friends also do what? They communicate. They communicate their plans. They share their thoughts and ideas with each other, right? So when you're a friend, when you're a friend, I start sharing stuff with you. I start letting you in on the meetings. Anybody ever see Meet Joe Black with, love that movie, Brad Pitt and Anthony Hopkins. And he was dying. He was going to die soon, and the dark angel came to kind of help him transition. Well, Brad Pitt was then a shadow everywhere he went. So Anthony Hopkins brought him to the board meeting. And all the people on the board was, who is this guy? He's like, don't worry about it. He's a friend of mine. And that's what I'm saying. Sometimes you go places and people, you have God with you. And people ask you, who is that? Don't worry about it. That's my friend. He belongs to me. Jesus belongs to me. I have a personal relationship with him. You can't carry him. He's not a cross. He's not a Bible. He's not an icon. He's not an ichthy, a fish on the back of your car. Right, he's not an image. He's a relationship. He's a person that you don, that you read about, that you talk to, that you love upon, that you embrace. He is your friend. He is your confidant. He's your counselor. He's your lawyer. He's your doctor. He's your mama and your papa. He's your best friend. Amen. And you must see him as such. You can't see them as red letters in the Gospels. You can't see them as words in a book. You've got to see them as when I'm at the park, if I look to the left, woo, I'm not rolling alone. Come on, somebody. You don't have to pull out your Bible to have his presence, for he lives in my heart. Where I go, he is. If I'm in the club, he's there. If I'm in the gang, he's there. If I'm in the jail, he's there. If I'm on the street, he's there. If I'm homeless, he's there. Because salvation has nothing to do with location. Woo! It's got everything to do with relation. I'm glad I know him. Somebody ought to say, I'm glad I know him. Somebody ought to say, I'm glad I know him. And so the text says that friendship is confidential companionship. It is confidential companionship. In other words, the truth that we share is confidential. So Jesus doesn't tell this truth to everybody. You get what I'm saying? You don't tell your truth to everybody. There are some things my wife knows, nobody else knows. There are some things that my partner, my best friend knows, my Mella knows, that nobody else knows. There's some stuff that only I know, and it's going to the grave with me. You get what I'm saying? It is confidential companionship. That's why friends who tell your stuff aren't your friends. They have broken protocol. They have broken your confidence. Friendship is based on truth, and truth must be protected. Woo, I'm preaching. I'm preaching harder than you realize. Truth must be protected, and truth must be verified. Don't you know why friends have a code? Don't you know friends have a special handshake? Don't you know friends have a special saying? If I called my friend, I said WMIY, he would know exactly what that means. If I called him, I said TTFN, ta-ta for now, WMIY is what's mine is yours. In other words, we know the code. Why? Because our friendship verifies our authenticity. Don't people ask you, well, if you really so-and-so, if you texting or you over the phone, if you really so-and-so, where did we go in 1978 at 3 o'clock? Where were we? Yeah. Friendship has to, because what am I saying? You're the only one who knows that. And when you read scripture, when you read the word, God reveals truth to you, and he reveals it only to you. And you're the only one who he revealed it to. Why? Because you're no longer a slave, but he calls you his Well, don't you want to be friends with him? Amen. Friends. Da-da-da-da. How many of us have them? All right. Friendship is confidential companionship. Then the disciples were friends with Jesus. And what does the Bible say? Greater love hath no man than he would lay down his life for who? For his. I'm telling you, friendship. It's powerful enough to jump in front of your friend and take the bullet for them. And why do you do that? Because the relationship is based on truth. Listen to what it's saying. The power of that statement says that what you have told me is so true, so valid, and has been verified over our years of relationship. I am willing to die for that level of veracity. That's insane. That's insane. Basically, God says, I'm so true, I can go to the cross and die for all of y'all because I know the truth is I'm getting up in 3 days. Amen. Do you get what I'm saying? What do we say? I bank my life on that. Or we say, swear on your mama's grave. In other words, we put such stringent realities before us when it comes to questioning, do you believe what I'm saying? Swear on your mom's grave. What I'm saying is, if you so believe it, then swear on your mom's grave. Jesus says, I so believe I can save this world, I'll die. Benny says, I so believe in our friendship and the things you've told me about your love for me, I'm willing to die for you. Whoa, that's powerful. Most relationships don't have that kind of truth. So guess what? Friends backbite and backstab all day long. In a minute, they will throw you under the bus in a second. Why? Because it is not based on truth. It is not truth related. It's based on similarities. It's based on we drive the same cars. It's based on we go to the same beauty shop. It's based on, oh, we like the same clothes. That's not truth. Truth is at the core of who you are. When you read the word is not telling you what Jesus likes, and he likes clothes and cars, and he likes donkeys better than horses. And he's talking about at the core of who he, his character, justness, righteousness, love, and forgiveness, what he believes, how he thinks. That's what friendship is about at the core. And if a friend can't tell you how they think and how they feel, they aren't your friend. Because friendship is based on truth. Can I go further?
Yeah.
All right. Level three. Listen, we were slaves of heaven. We moved to friends of heaven. And we moved to chosen of heaven. Doing things out of constructive choice is discipleship. The first one I said, doing things in the compulsion of another is slavery. Doing things out of confidential companionship is friendship. But the third one is doing things out of constructive choice is discipleship. It is doing something with consent and agreement. In other words, it is contractual. It is that I see the skills and the value in you that I am willing to give you a higher level of authority, but I need your consent on it. So the third level is time related. The first one is task related. The second one is truth related. But the relationship also must stand the test of
time.
Come on. Whoa. How long have you been friend? Oh, we had to. Do you know him? Yeah. How long you known him? And that question come up, right? Because how long you've known him determines how well you know. Whoa, gee. Woo! How long you been walking with Jesus? 30 minutes? I ain't trusting you. The Bible says, lay hands suddenly on no man. In other words, you don't elevate them to offices of authority until they have proven themselves over time. So you cannot elect a 16-year-old to be a bishop. You cannot take somebody straight out of high school and make them CEO of a 200,000 employee company. They have not demonstrated their ability to weather the test of time. So what does the text say? Can I go a little further?
Yeah.
Oh, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen who?
You.
And what?
Ordained.
Oh, wait a second. You've been ordained. Wait a second. Woo. In other words, I set you aside for a purpose. Don't you have friends you can count on? You don't let every friend take care of your kids. Am I right? You don't give the keys to your house to a friend you've known for a week. I guarantee you the friend you give the keys to your house to, you've known them. Yeah. So in other words, listen, watch this. The level of our friendship goes to another level because now I'm giving you certain authorities in my life. And it is not that you have chosen me, but it is that I have chosen you to start running some things in our parameter of relationship. God begins to look at you and say, hey, you're such a good friend. Hey, you've been around for a little while. Hey, I like what you do. Hey, you keep coming back. Hey, you stayed 10 years. Hey, you're doing all right. You had your ups and downs, but you didn't quit. Hey, looking good. So listen, what does he say? Because you've been faithful over a few things,
What does he say? I will make you ruler over me. In other words, you started at the bottom. Now you're here. You start as a slave. You move to a friendship. Now you move to the place of being chosen. And when you're chosen, God gives you some authority. Don't miss this. Because see, when you're a slave serving God, you ain't got no power. What kind of power does a slave have? None. And a friend is not really giving power because we're still establishing truth. I'm still weighing you out. I'm still trying to see, are you in it or not? But after you have proven over time, now I'll choose you for another level. I'll give you authority. Listen to what I'm saying. What did Jesus say after he came off the cross? After he got off, he said, all power. Both in heaven and earth. Now he got in trouble, went to the garden. He said, he prayed the prayer, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Is there another way to do this? Nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done. That's what God is not looking for, perfection. God knows you're going to doubt. God knows you're going to waver in your faith. But if you come back to the phrase, not my will, but your will be done, I guarantee you, you will be promoted in the kingdom of God. He will give you power. Don't you remember when the disciples came to Jesus and the man had a demon in him and they couldn't cast him out? Woo! And the disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, why can't we cast him out? He said, some things come forth not by but fasting and prayer. In other words, you don't have the lifestyle. You don't have the relationship to have that kind of power. I'm trying to teach you how to grow from being a slave, an idiot Christian who just does whatever the preacher says, whoever does what the church says, or whoever does whatever scripture says out of legality. I'm trying to move you to a place of authority and power in your life where you start telling the devil yourself what to do. You don't have to call the pastor, but you start healing your own family. You are the one the family calls. You become Reverend Bishop so-and-so of your house. Why? The Bible said he ordained you. You don't need a formal service to go to the hospital and pray for somebody. You don't need the bishops to put a Bible on your head and scarves, put you with scarves and cloaks all on you and have a special service. The Bible said, I chose you and I ordained you. Once you decide to have a relationship with me, I will give you the power to do what I've called you to do. Amen. Woo! I feel Jesus. Amen. He says, woo, he says, I've ordained you. Why? So that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. Amen. Now here's the term. And that fruit would what? Remain. And what does remain refer to? Amen. Time. Time. In other words, I need to see that the fruit you bring, is it sticking around? God is saying, I need to see, are you going to stick around? Listen, if you hear every now and then, that don't give me great comfort. If you go out, listen, if I go out to pick oranges off my tree, but I don't ever know when they're coming, I don't like that orange tree. But a good orange tree blooms around this time every, come on. I can count on the oranges at October. I know when it's time to water. I know when it's time to plant. I know. Does God know? Does God know where you are? Does God know? So let me take this a little further. Let me talk this about being chosen. Now I want you to see, you get chosen out of a group of people, right? The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. We didn't choose him, but he chose us. Are you right? Yeah. And he chooses us how? In his own time. God doesn't, listen, he's already chosen. David was already chosen. Remember, I said you are always entitled what you are before you are in reality. Yeah. The relationship with God takes you from title to reality. The relationship David had took him from shepherd boy to king. The relationship Joseph had with God took him from the pit to the palace.
If you don't have this personal relationship with God, you will be nothing but a title. You will have no reality. Who wants to be a Christian with the title of being favored and blessed, with the title of being anointed and powerful, with the title of being able to move mountains with all faith, with the title of it but no reality? Who wants to be that? And if you've been seduced into believing that's good enough, I came to shatter your glass, to break your prism and tell you that's not good enough. You must seek and hunger for a relationship with God. To know Him is to experience Him. To know Him is to give Him glory. Nothing like a child who stands on the sideline when they see their son make a touchdown. Woo! That child's action brings glory to their parent. But the only reason why that parent is shouting, because that parent has a relationship with that child. Don't expect God to shout for you because you gave $5 to somebody, but you haven't talked to Him all week. Don't expect God to shout to you. Don't shout for you and give you this job and bless you with this house and bless you with this ministry, and you don't even read the Word of God. Don't expect to shout. Don't expect to shout. Don't expect Him to show up. I'm telling you the truth. Go on and be a slave and keep on coming to church like you will. Go on and be a title. Haven't you seen people who brag about their title? Oh, it's the title, but they don't do nothing. They have the title, but they don't have the reality. You want to be great. You're great in name only. That's not legacy. People who really have legacy have the reality becomes larger than their title. Oh, God, you missed it. Great people who are really great rarely do you hear them throw out the title. They're always throwing out their reality. Woo! People who talk about their title more than they talk about their reality are filibusters. They're great cons. They're Decepticons. At the root, in terms of deception, deceivers of the world, making people think they're larger than life. It's a lie. Amen. And I'm telling you, you come here thinking you're larger than life, and you're going to run out there and face the devil all week. I'm telling you, warning, warning, like Will Smith on that, warning, warning, warning. Some of y'all too young to know that show. I'm telling you now, don't you run out there talking about you're going to beat the devil. You don't have a personal relationship. And because you don't have personal knowledge, you don't have power. And let alone you don't have the power, you don't know how to call up the power. So I'm trying to be a shepherd. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to be a midwife between your authoritative slave ruler and your reality. I'm trying to get you to be in a different place. To be chosen means, but I want you to get this. To be chosen, Lori, means there are options. Isn't that true? Listen. Friendship is based on I get to choose who I want to be my friends, right? And then I decide out of that group of friends who I want to come closer. I want to give another level. Who went with Jesus up to the mountain? Who, Peter, James, and John. It was 12 of them. Woo, Jesus. It was 12 disciples, but the Bible only says there was one that He loved. His name was John. Woo! Peter, James, and John could always be seen in the inner circle with Jesus. What happened to Bartholomew? Where was Philip? Where was the rest of these people? They didn't have that level of authority. I'm telling you, don't be a choice that doesn't get chosen. In other words, don't move yourself into the position of being a friend and then get all the way there and God don't pick you. And my point is, if you're going to be a Christian, do it all the way. Come on. In other words, I want it all. I want everything. Mama, I want it all. I'm not satisfied to come with a half-cocked praise. I'm not satisfied to come to a church that only gives me limited reality of glory and power. I want it all. Amen.
And if this church can't preach it all to me, if this church can't teach me how to get all of it, I'm in the wrong church. Because some people only give you enough to keep controlling you.
Amen.
Oh, you've never been in an abusive relationship. Good, that's all right. Don't say amen. That's all right. Sit right there. But people give you enough to keep you dangling. Boss is using you like crazy. And you finally speak up to HR one day, and now they know you know they you being used. So what do? They offer you $10 more.
Or a title.
Or give you an office. And by office, I mean they add one more siding to your cubicle, which makes it a little more exclusive. But you're still on the floor with everybody else. Am I preaching here? And people manipulate you. If you are a friend for real, you ought to do everything for me to even make me go higher than you. How do I know? Because Jesus told his disciples, greater things than these you shall do.
Amen.
He told them, you're going to be better than me. Woo! A parent ought to say to a child, you're going to be better than me. Pastor ought to say to the saints, you're going to be better than me. That's what I want for you. I should not suppress you. I should not keep you below me so I can control you. Never mind. Many are called, but few are chosen. But here's the thing. Joy, I have to offer it. To all, I got to preach hard to you, to you, to you, to you, because guess what? I don't know who God chose. I got to call all of y'all. I got to respond to all of y'all because I don't know who he chose. Woo! And that's why I keep fervently. I try to preach to the young ones. I try to preach to the old ones. I try to preach to the middle-aged hot ones. I try to preach to everybody. Why? Because everybody has a chance. Many are called into the room, but I realize only a few out of this group will step up and God will use in a mighty way. Are you with me? Let me wrap this up. The Bible said they're producers of fruit. He says, look, you got to get to a point in your life where you're producing fruit. You come here Sunday after Sunday, you take. All you do is take. You don't bring nothing to the table. And you got to learn that friendship is about more than just paying for the meal sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's about being emotionally involved. Isn't it true? I don't want a friend who's just going to pay for the club this time. You pay for that. I want a friend who's emotional. When I lost my mother, when I lost my friend, when I lost my job, I need a friend who's rolling in the car with me in my hoopty, but feeling my anguish. I need to come to a church of worship where I feel like the saints are feeling my anguish, more than a check, more than an offering. You've got to be engaged. Bring some fruit to the table. Can't be one person doing everything. A marriage will always fail with one person doing it all. A church with a pastor who is the single icon, who is the one doing it all, that church will fail miserably. He says, I chose you because I want you to bring forth fruit. And what is he doing? He's looking at you. He's saying, you look like a tree. That's right. You got abilities, baby. You have skills. You have possibility. You can do some stuff. I'm trying to pull it out of you. Don't get mad at me because I'm challenging you. I'm trying to show you. You got a tree that's waiting to bud. And then he wants it to remain. So God will do some stuff for you, Lonnie. He'll do some stuff to see, are you going to take it and run? Or are you going to take it and stick around? Woo! After God bless some people, you never see them again. But God is looking for people who will, in their ups and their downs.
Yeah, he is. I have come to worship you broke. I have come to worship you loaded. I have come to worship you with a limp, and I've come to worship you fully healthy. I have come to worship you single, and I've come to worship you married. Doesn't matter my situation, because I'm chosen to bring fruit. So, listen, he wants to make sure it sticks, and deeper levels of relationship require deeper commitment. Isn't that true? So if you want power, you're going to have to be committed. Mess around, be a manager, a C-level officer. There's more commitment involved. You don't do 40. You don't do 40 hours. You on call. They will call you at 8, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and be like, well, something came up, blah, 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 blah. Why? It is assumed that you have a different level of commitment. Why? You're making more money. You have a higher title. And what does the Bible say? To whom much is given, much is required. So you say you want power, you want the blessing, but you won't do nothing? What's wrong with you? Show up when you want to, do what you want when you want to, give when you want to, say amen when you want to, praise the Lord when you feel like it, when you want to, but you want the power? You must be insane. God says, to whom much is given, much is required. Let me end this. The last level, you become the family of heaven. So you move from the slave of heaven, the friend of heaven, to the chosen of heaven, into the family of heaven. Doing things out of, watch this, here's two C's again, and number four, doing things out of comparable compatibility is family. When family has comparable compatibilities, listen, if I look like you, if we can compare compatibilities, we're probably family. So if I walk into the house of God's people and we have comparable compatibilities where you get healed, I get healed, you get blessed, I get blessed, you get saved, I get saved, you pray, stuff happens, I pray, stuff happens. Guess what? We have comparative compatibilities, which means we are family. That's why I preach the sermon, This Is Us, because we are what we believe, breath for change. This then is trust related. Somebody say trust. Trust. Family is based on trust. Slaves, based on tasks. Friends, based on truth. Chosen, based on time. But family is based on trust. I hurt you, didn't I? That hit you real hard right there, didn't I? So what does the text say? This is going to blow your mind. This changed my life. This inserted into my spirit. That whatsoever you shall ask of the who?
Father.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. So wait a minute. So is my father my landlord? Is my father? I was a slave before. I was a friend. Is my father my friend? Wait a second. Am I chosen by my father? Wait a minute. So now I'm in the family. I've moved to another level. And what happens in the family? That whatever I ask of my father in my friend's name. You missed it. Whatever I ask of the Father in my name, Jesus' name, he may give it to you. How do we pray? We pray in Jesus' name. We pray to the Father in the name of our friend. Because later he calls us brother. So I pray to the Father in the name of my friend and brother, Jesus. Because he's not only my friend, he's my. So watch this. Get this picture, y'all. Get this picture. I go from slave, I go to a friend, I go to begin of authority. Now I got a job in the kingdom. I'm working for the Lord. But now he says, you family. What's up, family? What's up, family? And look at this picture. I like this picture because it says, I can go to my dad and I can ask him for whatever I
want. Do you get what I'm saying? Now that you, listen, you've proven yourself as a slave, you've honored him with truth, you've been confidential, you haven't been a gossip, you don't go around slanging his blessing around, selling it for profit, you know, you don't go around selling oil and handkerchiefs and trying to in his name and trying, you don't do all that. You've proven yourself, he's given you authority, but now you're at a point. Listen to what I'm saying. You go from being a slave to now you can go to God the Father and you can ask him for whatever it is you freaking want. And he will do it. Listen to what I'm saying. You don't get what the Father, you don't get everything you ask for from the Father without a relationship. Amen. Let me put it to you in these terms. Anybody who's got more than one child will understand the truth that one of them children, one of those children, one child, you know, daddy's girl, mama's baby. In other words, there's one usually that excels. There's one usually that does more. They clean the house without asking. They get straight A's. They do more than what, you know, they stay out of trouble. Who do you think the parent is going to give? Who do you think is going to get the first ice cream cone from Thrifties for 25? Who do you think gets it? I'm telling you, relationship. If you grow as a slave, do your time as a friend, be chosen out of the group of many, and then you get to be family. And family means when I show up, I can ask whatever I want from the family. Don't you remember the story in the Bible about the two sons where Jesus was asking of them and one of the brothers said, well, I need to go back and do this and I need to go back and do that. And Jesus said, which one do you think has more favor? That's the Bible. Mm-hmm. It's not that I'm showing favoritism. It's just that others are proving themselves worthy. Jesus is no respecter of persons, but if you show out and show up every time and do, am I going to pick you? Do a better job. Get A's. Do job at work. Be a better husband. Be a better wife because it gives you access to ask daddy. When, do I know sometimes? Oh, my God. Oh, and they become manipulators when they know they can get you. Oh, when the children know, when they know, oh, they milk it. I was a baby boy. I was spoiled. I was a baby. I was a baby out of four. I knew how to do it. I knew how to do it. I still know how to do it. Mom made me meatloaf 2 weeks ago because I asked her to. Other siblings was mad because they. My point is, if you are in relationship with God, you can go to him and ask him whatever you want. The son asks whatever he wants. But listen, the son is not going to ask anything outside of the will of his daddy. Why? Because I was a slave and I was his friend. Then he entrusted me with his books and his employees. I know what he wants. So while it's true, we're already his sons, right? When you get saved, you become his sons and daughters, right? It is true. By title, that's what you are. But you haven't grown into the reality of asking whatever you want. You can ask all you want to. Some of y'all praying, and you can ask. You ain't doing it. Ain't doing it. There's some children, you know, you can't trust. They are irresponsible. Last time you gave them $100, they spent it on shoes. They were supposed to put it on the class. You can ask all you want to. You come ask me 15,000 times. After you've shown me that you can't handle what I've given you, I'm not giving it to you, but to the one who asks according to the will. The Bible says in Psalm 37, delight thyself in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. What do you have to do first though? Delight thyself. But if he doesn't bring you delight, and I could tell if he doesn't because your praise and worship is awkward. You don't pray. You don't read the word. You don't, of course, you don't delight in it.
when you delight in something, you happy. Oh, I'm in Hawaii. Look at this room. Oh, look at this beach. Oh, when you get your hair done, it look real good. Oh, you can't get out the mirror. Oh, you're delighting in it. But when it comes to God, do you delight? Are you happy? Are you ecstatic? Woo, woke up this morning. Jesus saved me. Ooh, can't wait to go to church. Can't wait to do his will. Ooh. No. That is based on relationship. So the difference between a child at birth and a child with a relationship is that one asks for something, the other one doesn't. You can get born again, but you ain't gonna ask for nothing because you don't know what to ask for. But a person who has walked with mama and daddy for years and knows them, you know how to approach them. Don't you? You know when daddy just come home from work, you don't ask him right away. Give him a minute. Give him a minute, right? You know when to ask, right? You know when to approach the bench. approach the bench, you know. Yes, sir, Your Honor. You know when to yes, sir, and the no, ma'am, and you shut it up. Not now. Wait. Right? I know my daddy. I know when to ask him. I'm just trying to get you to see that it's based on a relationship because a parent loves to feel needed, right? A daddy in heaven feels like, yeah, come on, ask me whatever you want, but I'm going to give you whatever you ask for based on our relationship. So you've got tremendous, tremendous examples there, and you should be able to understand this. I want to leave you with this. The more truthful, trustful, and obedient you are, the deeper and more meaningful relationship becomes. Would you agree?
Yes.
The more truthful, you are, the more trustful you are, and the more obedient you are, and we are to each other, the deeper and more meaningful our relationship becomes. But if you lie, if you can't be trusted, and if I ask you to do something and you don't, shallow relationship. That's not a friend, that's an associate. That's somebody you know. So, listen, you are always things in title before you are in reality. Jesus was God before he came into the reality of it, right? He was born in a manger as a little boy, right? But he was God. Tracking?
Yes.
So he was God by title, and then he took on the form of man. Well, Moses was called, but he wasn't chosen until he was 80. God didn't speak to him from the burning bush until he was 80. But he was chosen when he was set aside in the little manger in the water, crossed the river, sent into Egypt, and nursed by his own mama. You had to know he was chosen. God was looking out for him as a child, but his reality of being the chosen, the leader of the Israelites hadn't manifested until he was 80. I'm telling you, you are now entitled everything God has called you to be. Your personal relationship with him is going to take you into the reality. If you don't have that personal relationship, you are choosing to be title only. Abraham was called the father of many, many nations. He was called the father of many nations and didn't have one child. God said, you will be the father of many nations. And Abraham said, excuse me, Jesus, Lord, God, Father. He said, I don't have no, and Sarah was barren. She couldn't have children. He's like, how you going to make me father of many nations? He says, you are entitled. What you are before you are reality. Guess what? He has a baby at 100. 100. She was in her 90s. Though the vision tarry, wait for it. Personal relationship will bring it into reality. I want all of the blessing. So each of these four thoughts became a reality due to a deepened relationship. Abraham trusted. Moses walked with God. Joshua hung in there. Joseph did what he was supposed to do. All these people deepened their relationship and brought them into the reality. Really good friends are trusted with more. And when friends trust for years, they grow into giving each other authority. And then they become family. Don't you call some of your friends family?
Yeah.
Hey, family. Why? Because they have shown over time that relationship changes. new levels of heaven. The more truthful, trustful, and obedient you are, the deeper and more meaningful the relationships get. Now, not all of you will take that road, but all of you should at least aspire toward being a friendship of God. At least hit the friend. At least hit that. At least stop being a slave. Stop just serving him blindly. Reach the level of friendship and start walking in truth and in power. I'm PC, and that's all I've got.